From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. In a major announcement on Thursday, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced that he would be rescinding the Justice Department's Cole Memo, a document that allowed states and municipalities a measure of legal autonomy over marijuana policies. The announcement came just days after California, the most populous state in the nation, began allowing the legal recreational use of marijuana. Californians voted to legalize recreational marijuana in November 2016. Sessions, who once famously said, "Good people don't smoke marijuana," has effectively given the green light to U.S. attorneys to prosecute the burgeoning pot industry. More than 70% of Americans oppose a federal crackdown on marijuana sales and use. Eight states and the District of Columbia have voted to legalize the drug. My guest is Justin Streckel. He is the political director for NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Welcome to the program, Justin.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Sonali.
So, Justin, the last time we had you on was about a year ago, a little less than a year ago, when we spoke about how the new Trump administration, then new Trump administration, under Jeff Sessions' authority in the Justice Department, would likely make it harder to have a sort of clean rollout of pot legalization state by state. I suppose you weren't too surprised by what Sessions announced regarding the Cole memo?
No, we weren't surprised, but we were disappointed. The Attorney General has an incredibly long history of being a militant marijuana prohibitionist. And yet he did make comments throughout the course of last year, both in his Senate confirmation hearings and as recently as last November, that he saw merit and validity to the hands-off approach that the Cole memo applied to allow state legal marijuana to be able to flourish without the fear of federal intervention. And in his actions yesterday, when he rescinded that memo, as well as all other federal guidance to U.S. attorneys, he really left a void. And now, you know, while a number of U.S. attorneys have made public comments saying that they don't plan on changing their enforcement procedures, it really is the Wild West, where any U.S. attorney who's looking to get their picture in the paper could crack down at any time.
So what you're saying is that when Sessions rescinded the Cole memo on Thursday, what he really should have done, if he was going to go this far, was lay out some kind of guidelines for the Justice Department, but he didn't. So there's just this sort of legal void and free-for-all.
Correct. Hmm. You know, I've been referring to our national policies almost in a state of bipolar disorder, with so many different jurisdictions covering so many different states that have such wide variety of laws. So there's really no way or there's no uniform policy now from the federal government to say we will enforce the federal prohibition of marijuana in X, Y, and Z. It's purely just up to the individuals who have been named U.S. attorneys since the Trump administration took over, an additional 17, which were just named a couple days ago. And we don't know much yet about these people.
Hmm. Now, there has been a bit of a back and forth between the federal government and various states for many years. Over the years, we do remember when California had begun allowing the use of medical marijuana. Well, that's actually been legal in California for a long time, but I believe it was under the George W. Bush administration that there were attempts to crack down on that. There were sort of competing policies under the Obama administration before that administration finally sort of settled on something that allowed states some measure of autonomy, and now it seems as though we're going backward.
Correct, we are. Which kind of reflects a number of policies that we're seeing coming from the federal government in relation to states' rights. In California, it's kind of similar to the issue that you've been seeing with sanctuary cities,
right,
where the local governments are asserting control to be able to make their own self-determination when it comes to policies that affect their citizens and their communities. And now here comes the federal government saying, we're not going to say exactly what we're going to do, but we might do something, so be anxious at all times.
What was Trump and what has Trump's policy or, well, policy is too complicated a word, maybe we should say position on marijuana use and legalization been. There's some sense among news reports that Sessions may not be fulfilling the president's goal in rescinding the Cole memo.
Well, during the 2016 presidential campaign, Donald Trump referred to marijuana policy on a couple occasions. He said that he's supportive of medical marijuana and that when it comes to other marijuana policies, which I imagine he meant responsible adult use, that it should be left to the states to decide. So that runs counter to what current federal policy is and counter to federal policy under the Obama administration. But those statements have come with no action whatsoever from the White House. And now with the Department of Justice acting, you know, in these such murky times of when are they speaking for the White House and the administration and when are they simply speaking for the Department of Justice itself and executing what Jeff Sessions believes to be justice.
There have also been protests from Republicans angry at what Sessions did. I want to quote from a New York Times article. Colorado, which became one of the earlier states to legalize marijuana use recreationally, is a big, you know, that's where the pot industry has had perhaps the longest time to mature. And Senator Cory Gardner, who's a conservative Republican, said, "I'm obligated to the people of Colorado to take all steps necessary to protect the state of Colorado and their rights." He said he had been assured by both Trump and Sessions before voting for Sessions' confirmation that this, according to the New York Times, quote, "backtracking on marijuana would not be a focus of the administration." The senator seemed flabbergasted by what amounted to a federal assault on the expanding $1 billion legal pot business approved by voters in Colorado. And he threatened to try to block all Justice Department nominees until Mr. Sessions backed off. So he's drawing the ire of his own party here.
Well, you could say he's drawing the ire of his own party, but I think what he's trying to do in those statements is to reshape his party's position when it comes to cannabis, which, you know, largely we've seen polling come out late last year that shows a full 64% of Americans support the outright legalization of marijuana nationwide, and 94% of Americans support the right for medical patients to be able to access marijuana to alleviate the suffering of their conditions, like such as cancer, AIDS, multiple sclerosis, intractable epilepsy, etc. So, I mean, this is an issue where more Democrats than Republicans are in our view good on. But the Republican Party, it's time for them to realize that if they don't want to continue to lose millennial support, particularly, then they need to get ahead of this, or at least they need to not let this be something the Democrats can hang around their necks come 2018, now that Jeff Sessions has made it a very, very national conversation.
How much of Sessions' position is based on very old-fashioned thinking about marijuanas and even really unscientific impressions of the effects of marijuana?
Yeah, one of the jokes we have is that Sessions is stricken with an uncontrollable case of reefer madness, and almost not a single utterance that he has made when it comes to marijuana policy is even within the realm of reality. He has likened marijuana to heroin. He's likened it to fentanyl, and he's running around the country when he's talking to law enforcement saying how much he opposes it. And There were two policy changes or guidance changes that the Department of Justice issued under Sessions last year that can be seen to work in tandem with the Attorney General's decision yesterday. The first of which is a reversal of what was known as the Holder Doctrine, which would end the prosecution of nonviolent, non-cartel-related, non-terrorism-related drug offenses to only pursue the minimum charges and minimum sentences for those individuals. The Department of Justice now is telling U.S. attorneys to pursue the maximum number of charges possible and the maximum sentence for each charge. And additionally, they revised their civil asset forfeiture guidelines to further incentivize state and local law enforcement to enforce federal prohibition, because they will now see marijuana production facilities and dispensaries as big piles of money that they could add to their local budget. So, you know, with those two things in tandem, local law enforcement, particularly in conservative areas, are going to try to talk to the U.S. attorneys governing those jurisdictions and say, please work with us so that way we can seize these assets. And regarding the civil asset forfeitures, the cases don't go against the individuals. It's a separate case that's made against the property itself, which puts the burden on the business owner to not only defend themselves in court, but to also defend their property. And, you know, one thing I thought that Republicans and marijuana smokers would agree on is that we don't want to give more lawyers more money. And yet, you know, when we see these policies being laid out, they can really be used together as a detrimental force in your state of Colorado or California.
Right. And Justin, there is such a great need for marijuana to sort of come out of from out of the sort of black market, the shadows. It is a drug that is in desperate need of serious scientific research and studies so that doctors can better understand what its benefits are, the differences between different strains. There is a deep potential there for it to be used safely to treat such a huge number of conditions that Americans are desperately, wishing for. You know, people have successfully used it to treat epilepsy and seizures. And as you mentioned, just relief from cancer treatments. There are so many positive, potentially positive aspects that could come out once we normalize marijuana use. And it seems as though the federal government, through Sessions' actions, is pushing or trying to roll back the progress that had been made on that front. You know, setting aside the industry, the money that's going to be made, the money that's going to come to states and municipalities, what about the truly sort of scientific research that needs to happen into marijuana?
Well, I have to push back a little bit, Sonali, okay. Because you're displaying a symptom of reefer madness, which is we have a tremendous amount of data. A simple search on PubMed will reveal 26.
Yeah, but doctors aren't really using that data maybe then, right? I mean, it's not easy to simply go to your own doctor and be like, I would like a marijuana alternative to this drug that you're giving me.
Well, no, we have that data. A journal put out by the Journal of American Medicine in 2014 showed that in states with robust medical marijuana programs, we see a 36% decline in opioid abuse rates and a 25% decline in opioid overdose fatalities.
Wow.
We're seeing, there's a lot of international research coming out on this, particularly out of Israel, which has the most progressive marijuana research policies in the world. And we have a lot of data. We could have better data and we could reform the laws that govern the access to botanical marijuana for researchers and make it better so we have better data. But right, you know, saying that we don't have enough data is an outdated talking point. And we've been working with the American Legion, and they just commissioned a poll at the end of last year that showed 22% of veterans in the United States are using marijuana to alleviate symptoms of a physical or a mental condition. That's 8% higher than general use rates amongst the population.
But are they using it on their own? Are they using it with the guidance of their doctors?
Unfortunately, we don't have enough data on that because a lot of veterans aren't talking to their VA doctors as a result of a federal prohibition for a VA doctor to make a recommendation. Now, the Veterans Affairs Department did just put out a new clarification saying that veterans should be encouraged to talk to their doctors about their cannabis use. But they still are preventing their doctors, even in the 30 states that have expanded medical marijuana laws, from having those doctors write a recommendation. Nor do we see marijuana recommendations being fulfilled by insurance companies. So that way the
barriers. And that's what I mean when, I guess, rather than more research, I guess, to make it more acceptable for doctors to start relying on this. Yeah.
And particularly, and that's why I cited the opioid data. You know, marijuana is less addictive than nearly every other drug out there. It is scientifically safer than alcohol, than tobacco, than opioids, than McDonald's. So, you know, and with the litany of therapeutic aspects from, you know, particularly when we talk about veterans, chronic pain, because, you know, in America right now, we're going through this opioid epidemic. Doctors are being vigorously lobbied by the pharmaceutical companies to make prescriptions of opioids, And, you know, people are getting prescriptions for, you know, they sprain their wrist. And then the next thing you know, 6 months later, they're looking for heroin. So, yeah, we do need to have that cultural shift. But the data is already there, and I implore your listeners to join Normal Chapters and help us spread public awareness.
So, Justin, does Sessions's rescinding of the Cole memo, do you think it will have a chilling effect on other states looking to legalize marijuana? I know Vermont's state legislature just voted to pass a marijuana legalization. It's going to go to that state's Senate and probably signed into law by the governor. And that happened just hours after the Cole memo was rescinded?
Correct. Yeah, hours after the Cole memo was rescinded, the lawmakers and you know, much credit to their courage to be willing to do this, voted to legalize marijuana in the state of Vermont, which would make the Green Mountain State the first state to legalize it through the legislative process.
Rather than a referendum.
Every legalization has been by ballot referendum. Mm-hmm. From the lawmakers we've been working with, we haven't heard a shying away from this controversy. If anything, we've heard an emboldening of determination to change these laws. You know, our work, we mostly focus on the criminalization aspects, and nothing that the Department of Justice did yesterday has the ability to incentivize states to recriminalize marijuana. This is mainly an issue of, you know, what's going to happen to the industry.
I see.
Yesterday's actions are going to have in my view, it's going to have a chilling effect on the industry. It's going to scare away investors. It's going to scare away entrepreneurs from getting into these newly legal markets. But it's not going to mean that, you know, your local beat cop is going to be shaking down more kids on the street.
Right. I mean, especially in California, where, as we mentioned, the most populous state now to allow the legal recreational use of marijuana, people and companies have been forming over the past, you know, since November 2016, it was being closely watched. The referendum was being closely watched. And there was a huge amount of buzz to expand the industry in California because this is a massive moneymaker. It's a job creator. So we'll certainly see how that plays out. Give out a website for Normal, Justin.
I encourage everyone to visit www.normal.org. That's NORML.org. And on our website, you can get all the latest facts, figures, polling information, and we make it really easy for you to connect with your lawmakers, both locally and nationally, on pending legislation. And additionally, you can plug in with our vast chapter network. In California, I think we have like 30 chapters throughout the state, because we truly are a grassroots organization. You know, we have town halls all the time, public education meetings all the time, organizing statewide lobby days, city council lobby days, focusing on the nitty gritty city by city and county by county regulations, which California, you know, now that you've legalized it statewide, every single municipality now has to take these actions, and we're working to make sure that the rights of an individual who chooses to consume marijuana, be it for a medicinal purpose or just for a purpose of pleasure, has their voice in that debate.
We'll post a link to that from our website later today. Thank you so much, Justin.
Hey, thank you, Sonali, for having the conversation. Hope to talk soon.
Justin Streckel is the political director for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, and we've been discussing Jeff Sessions' decision to rescind the Cole memo on marijuana. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.